I'm reading from Matthew chapter 28, starting from verse 1. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dying, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he's going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." The word of the Lord.
Well, we thank you for being with us, joining us on this Easter Sunday. Lots of places you could be, and you have chosen to be here, so we thank you, and we give praise to our God for the joy of the Easter Sunday celebration and expression. So we're going to reflect for a little bit on Matthew's story. As a faith community, we've been working through a number of words of Christ, commands actually, from this gospel, and so I thought it would be appropriate to reflect on this piece from Matthew 28. So you can just imagine the two individuals that are mentioned are Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. And the other Mary is most likely Mary, the mother of Jesus. There are a number of Marys. But we have Mary Magdalene and Mary the mom. And they have just had some really crazy, devastating days as the one that they each love has been taken and brutally crucified, as you know, a form of death that Romans would not practice on each other. It was for those who were not Romans, and it was a statement to make in terms of who these individuals are. So Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Christ, have seen all this, and now on Sunday, the first day of the week, they are going to go to the tomb. And, I mean, what are they going to do at the tomb? They're going to go there, pay their respect. What do we do when we go to a graveside? We remember the individual, talk with our friends who are there, perhaps. Be quiet, be still. It would not be a happy time for them. This is a sad occasion because the death of Jesus is very sad. So it's a spirit of darkness, we're saying, a spirit of sadness. That's what happens as this text begins. And it's a confirmation that the powers of the world typically win out. That the powers of darkness win out, that war wins out, that violence wins out, that the powers over win out. That's what we see in our world. And Mary, the two Marys go with this spirit. So that's how the story begins. And as they're on their way, there is an earthquake. And earthquakes do rumble through that part of the world a lot. And this is a significant one. And there's sounds, obviously, and shaking. Most likely we haven't been in earthquakes of any size. It would be a very scary event. And clearly they're approaching the tomb, and it's rocking and rolling, and then all of a sudden this angel descends and rolls back the stone and then just sort of casually sits on it. I like that little thing. Angel comes down, this big rock, rolls it out of the way and just sits down and says, well, there we go. Now we'll carry on. And by the way, the stone is not rolled out away so that Jesus can get out of the tomb. That's not the point. He's already out. The stone is rolled away so that the women and the disciples can actually go in and see that it's an empty tomb. And so the angel comes, and this angel is luminous, is amazingly white and glorious. It's reflecting the image of Daniel 7 and some of the Old Testament passages where God is presented, if you like. This almost sounds like a theophany where God presents himself and the women are aware of God's presence. So this is all part of the scene. So they come in sadness. There's this crazy earthquake. And then when they get there, the stone is being rolled away and there's an angel sitting and waiting for them. Remember, if this is Mary the mom, Mary's already had an experience with an angel 30 years earlier when the angel comes to Mary. Actually, this is the next time that it happens. In the midst of the Gospels, there's no other reference to an angel coming to this family. Here it is, after all those years. And so now the angel actually speaks. And he speaks very powerful. Gabriel was the one who came to Jesus in the first place. It may well be Gabriel here coming to to Mary and to the family, Joseph, coming another time. And what are the first words? Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Now or forevermore, do not be afraid. This is really the message of Easter. We do not have to live in fear because Jesus has been raised. And because he has been raised, we will have life. We don't have to give in to fear. We don't have to give in to all those powers of oppression and violence around the planet. We don't have to be controlled by them. Why? Because death ultimately has been defeated. We've read those pieces from 1 Corinthians 15. We can trust and have hope in God. We do not have to be afraid. Life can be scary. We're going to see that. When the women go, note, they go in terms of joy and fear. We'll talk about that. The world can be scary. Things can go happening in our family. We're not happy the way they're going. But nevertheless, at a base level, the angel is saying, do not be controlled by fear, now or in the future. That's the first word that's used. And then he says, you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified, but he has been raised. It's in the passive voice. He has been raised. God has raised him. He has been vindicated. The world says, hey, you're just like a criminal. On Good Friday, we talked about Jesus identifying with the world, especially as he's crucified between two thieves, two bandits. He's identifying with us in our brokenness and in the worst way, whatever that might be. Jesus with us, his solidarity with us. You are looking for that one who you saw, but he has been raised by God. The Messiah has been raised. Death is not the final victor. This is what the angel is saying. The death barrier has been broken through. I like that phrase. Jesus breaks through that barrier. The one who has been crucified has been raised. And then in light of that, he gives them a mission. I want you to go. Tell the story. Go to the disciples. Tell them. And not just them, but to us. If we know Jesus, then we have a job to do. It's not enough that we just live comfortable lives. It's not enough that we just live convenient lives. That in the West, we all want that. Basically, that's what we want. Be able to do what we want. But Jesus is saying, and the angel is saying, you have a job to do. And the job is to be witnesses for Christ, not just in words, but in actions. We are to weave, if you like, into this great tapestry that God is weaving in his story, our good works. Do our part. and the women. And note, it's women who are the first witnesses, not the men, not the apostles, not the disciples. The first witnesses to Christ are the women. And the women, we often forget. In a patriarchal society, man, they're forgotten completely. And the gospel writers are reminding us this intentionally. Hey, everybody, of all the people, who are the ones who are dearest, who stay with Jesus through the end? It's the women, not the disciples, essentially. And so we are witnesses together. We have a job together. That's what the angel's saying. And that's what we need to be reminded of on this Easter Sunday, on this weekend. How will we hear God's voice? How will we go forward? So they come to the tomb, and then we have this great, powerful word that the angel represents, and now they're going to go. And they were told two things. They go forth in joy, in great joy. The angels at the very beginning, the infant stories, the angels to the shepherds say they're great joy is happening in Bethlehem right now. Great joy. The word is repeated here. Two words. Great joy. The great joy is Christ and his resurrection. That is the great joy in terms of what the word for humankind is. Death is no longer the great end that we face. There's a breakthrough. So Jesus promises his life, gives us life. Eternal life, Zoe. So they go forth in joy. That makes sense. They came in sadness. An angel appears, says some really pretty happy words, and so they smile. Don't you think they smile? They say, wow, this is unexpected. We weren't expecting this. Look what's happened. But at the same time, it's mixed with this fear. They go forth in fear. It doesn't just mean reverence. No, there is this realistic word of what will their future unfold like. There is joy, but there's also caution. There is fear. What will my week look like now? What will my year look like? How does this story keep being told? So there's this mixture of joy and fear, just like there is in the church. Just like there is in terms of the church worldwide. You've looked at the news today. You know there was a horrific event in Sri Lanka. Early Sunday morning in the Far East. And Christians were killed. Well over 100 people were killed. By bombs and by terrorism. Christians being singled out in a country where the Christian community is a minority, and they were attacked. And so people right now, families are broken. Christian families, our brothers and sisters, right now are weeping while we are here and we celebrate. So the reality is the church is this mixture, isn't it? The church is a mixture of joy and sadness because we are here in the not yet, we're not all the way there yet. And so that is the reality of your life and my life. Things happen. Financial disasters, work situations, sickness. We're praying for our people. So life is not just joyful. Life is mixed also with this fear. And the women know that, and the gospel writers comment realistically in terms of how that goes. Where's Joseph in all this? We don't know. Is Joseph already passed? He may well already be dead. We don't know. We don't hear him again mentioned. So maybe some pain has already happened in that family immediately. And now Jesus. The tradition has it that Mary, the mother of Jesus, ends up in Ephesus. You can go to Ephesus and she's buried, or there's a chapel in honor of her, and John the Apostle has his grave there. It may not be exactly the way, but that's how all the tradition ends. Mary ends up in Ephesus because she travels with John. Where he goes, she goes. So she experienced a whole lot in her life and a whole lot of pain, but yet the joy of the resurrected Christ, her son. But it's both together. And so in our reality, we hear these messages. So they go forth, joy and fear. And then what happens? Jesus, they're going down the path. They're going to go tell the disciples. And the way it's reflected in the Greek is that they see some coming. Someone's coming to them. Someone's approaching them. And as they carry on, they see him. As they get closer, they recognize it's Jesus. Jesus is coming to them. They're going out in fear and joy, and now the resurrected Christ comes to them. A very powerful event, don't you think? And what happens? He says, rejoice. In our English translations, it's simply greetings. I don't think it was just greetings. It's rejoice. Rejoice, man. The Lord God has raised me. I am alive. And then he says what? Do not be afraid. There's the word again. The same command that the angels gave, now Jesus gives. Do not be afraid. Do not let fear grip your life. The tyrants of our world try to operate by fear. They go out. They take people by night and they disappear. Why? It's all about fear. Fear. We control by fear. Fear, fear. And Jesus is saying it's not about fear. We live in an amazing country where our MP, who is a cabinet minister, will come to our church and actually talk to us. And talk to us in a welcoming way and in a positive way, don't you think? Many, many countries, that's not happening. So the Lord has blessed us, allowed us to have opportunities to serve him and know him. Jesus comes and encourages them. Do not be afraid. And as I close, it's the same words and way that Jesus comes to us. Jesus comes to reassure you. On Easter Sunday, you are not alone. Even though you may live alone in one of the apartments along Weston Road, you are not alone. Fundamentally, you are not alone. But you struggle with your loneliness. You wake up and you're alone. And then we need to be reminded that we are not alone. And by the way, that's one of the great things that the faith community does. One of the ways that we know that we are not alone is by the faith community. It is by relationships together. It's not just you doing your thing with God. It's not just me doing my thing with God. If we give up on the church, we are giving up on one of the most significant ways that we help each other. If you're going to hang in there in your Christian faith, you need brothers and sisters. And so I know a number of you, you're on your own, but you have a group that are with you, and you call each other all the time, and you know that, hey, I'm not just alone in this community. We are here together. And so on this Holy Week, on this day, look, we're together. Not just sitting here, but we are in relationships, and that's the way the church is to act. And so our brothers and sisters in Sri Lanka right now who are hurting, the minimum we can do is praying for them. At a minimum, God, help them. Be with our brothers and sisters who have had this crazy experience, a devastating experience, lives changed. The minimum we can be doing that. Is that not right? So going forth this week, let's not just think about ourselves. What else is going on? Because we as a church have a responsibility. And lastly, Jesus comes to meet us. Jesus comes to meet us every day as believers. He does. He comes down the road to meet the two Marys. And he will come to meet you and me. He will come. And he is coming. But we have to have eyes to see. We have to have hearts that are open. How do I welcome Jesus? How does Jesus show up in my life here in Weston through the week? In your world, whatever it is, Jesus comes to us. He speaks to us, but we have to kind of get beyond our distraction and be able to actually see what's going on. What's going on in this engagement with some individual right here and now? Every person is a blessed person. Every person, we're told, is created in the image of God. Rebecca and I were at the AGO last week, and there's a show on post-impressionism. And what part of it was the first film clip that's ever been shot. And what, you know what it is? It's in France. And it's the filmmaker at the doors to a factory, one of the new factories in the industrial age. And the doors open, and out stream all these people, hundreds and hundreds of people, mostly women, all dressed up. It's like a linen factory or something, and they come out. Just streams of people, 1898. And then guys on some bicycles, they come out. And then the odd dog comes out. The film is a stream of people coming out of a factory. It goes for about a minute. The first film. Woo! There it is. When I was watching that, I was thinking, look at all those people. Every one of them has their own story. Every one of them is created in the image of God. And every one of them, most likely, is now dead. They're all gone. That whole group of people, the men, the women, where are those bicycles? Maybe they're still around, I don't know. The dogs are long gone. But they were all important. Every one of them somewhere had the opportunity to meet Jesus. Because Jesus shows up to all of us. Whether they ever heard the words in a church service, it doesn't matter. Somewhere along the line, Jesus shows up, speaks to us, presents himself to us. How do we respond? All of those. And now we are in our story. So we're not going to go out of a factory today, but we're going to go out of a church. Somebody could be filming that. That could be the next film. Every one of us goes out. Children go out. Men, women go out. All kinds of different ages. There's our story. And then our story will be gone. In the world's model, that death ends it all. Not Jesus. Death is not the end. We go forth in him. Power in him. A purpose in him. A mission in him. Your life counts. Jesus created you. The Father created you. The Spirit, three in one. One in three created us to just be and give glory to God in how we live. The fruit of the Spirit, what is it? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control. All of those are the fruit of the Spirit. That shows what's going on in your life and my life. So may we rise up in a spirit of joy, tempering our fear, that indeed our lives count. And there's something that we're to do that has importance. For him, in Jesus' name, amen.